All right, Exodus chapter 20, continuing on the Tender Commandments series. One of the most difficult things to get a teenager to do is to respect and honor their least favorite teacher. Any of you here? Any of you have teenagers? One of the most difficult things to do is to get a right-wing conservative to respect and honor President Obama, even when they stand in direct opposition to his policies. One of the really hard things to do would have been to get a right-wing, hardcore conservative to respect President Clinton, even after his affair with Monica Lewinsky. One of the most difficult things to do is to get a left-wing liberal to respect President Bush after he led us to war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and some people disagreed with that. A really difficult thing to do is to get an intense local church member to respect their pastor and their church leaders, even when the church is going in a direction that that person disagrees with. It's really difficult to get a woman to unconditionally respect her husband, even when he acts in ways that are unloving. It's difficult to get a man to unconditionally love his wife, even when she acts in ways that are very disrespectful. So when I say to you this morning that the fifth commandment is, honor your father and your mother, I'm well aware of the immediate response that runs to the front of your mind in the front of the room. All kind of thoughts start to circulate. But you don't know my parents. You don't know what they were like. You don't know what my growing up years were like. You don't know what I went through. You don't know where I came from. You don't understand our situation. You're right, I don't know any of that. But God knows it. And let me ease your mind this morning. And sometimes I find it's easier to understand what something means by first understanding what it does not mean. Let me tell you what honor your father and your mother does not mean. It does not mean that you cannot honestly evaluate your parents' mistakes and try to learn from them. It doesn't mean that you have to be overwhelmed with some sense of emotional love for your parents. It doesn't mean that you've got to deny any abuses that you suffered because of their addictions or dysfunctions or spiritual blindness. It doesn't even mean that you have to enjoy the company of a parent who left you wounded and continues to inflict pain on you now. It doesn't mean that you have to continually navigate your life around the dysfunctions of your parents in order to keep false peace. It doesn't mean that your parents have to change in any way in order for you to honor them. God did not say feel love. He didn't say have affection for. He didn't say enjoy the company of. He didn't say pursue fulfilling communication with. What he said was honor your father and your mother. Now what I want you to do during this message this morning is I want you to, as much as you can, avoid the extreme temptation that's going to rush into your mind to apply this to your children. Are you here? What I'd rather prefer you to do is think about how you might apply it to yourself and your parents. Because see, here's the deal. No matter what your parents' age, it doesn't matter. Everybody in this room is not a parent, but everybody in this room is a child. And everybody in this room has parents. As a person with parents, I want you then to not look at your own children, if you have them. I want you to look at your relationship with your parents. Now, say, having said that, look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And then we'll go to Ephesians. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 6, 2 through 3. Paul the Apostle in the New Testament echoed this command again when he was talking to families about family life. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You and I need to understand that we're not all equals when it comes to God's system of honor. You and I are not equals inside that system. What I mean is every human on earth is not on the same plane. There are people in your life and there are people in my life that God never intended for us to ever be equal with. For us to be on the same platform with when it comes to the issue of honor. Because there are people in your life and people in my life that God has given them a position of honor over you. Parents are one of those people. God has given them a position of honor over us. Honor your mother and your father. Why does the scripture say that? That it may go well with you. Isn't that interesting? That it may go well with you. Not that your parents will be happy, although it will help. That it may go well with you. Remember the purpose in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, that God said by which he gave the commandments, that we might live, that we might prosper, and that we might possess the promises of God. Honoring mother and father is for you, not for them. They receive it. They are blessed by it. But it's really more about you and I than it is about them. Honor is a choice. And when we ignore God's system of honor, we wound ourselves. Remember what I said about the commandments last week? Nobody ever really breaks a commandment. We break ourselves on them. They won't break. They won't shatter. They won't bend. But we will crush. We will fly to pieces on them. So the commandment of honor father and mother is really about us. And that choice has nothing to do with our parents' character or our parents' behavior. It has everything to do with their God-given position of honor over us. Now, as we think about the Ten Commandments, this is a very pivotal commandment in this series because it highlights a shift in the commandments from one category to another. We talked about the first four commandments already. We'll just review for a second. And what those commandments have to do with is our relationship with God. This little guy and his little bear friend represents, and there's another one I didn't notice till just now. It's like those things you keep pulling out. The first commandment, no gods before me. And this is our golden calf. You thought it was Bambi. It's a golden calf. And this one represents no idols. Here we talked about the scripture, because this is where we find God's name. And we said, take God's name seriously. Last week we talked about honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And that's where we got a little calendar under a submission hold with a cross on top of it. Sabbath. Those four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. The most important command is the first command. And it basically says, put God first. When I get that command right, the other three will almost always fall into place. When I put God first, then I don't have to worry about idols, and I don't have to worry about how I take his name, and I don't have to worry about remembering the Sabbath. I've put God first. He's my top priority. So the other things fall into place. Now we start commandment number 5 and go 5 through 10. And the first of this section, commandment 5, is the most important commandment as it relates to our relationship with people. The first four are our relationship with God. The last six are our relationship with people. Just like the first one with God is the most important, honoring father and mother is the most important commandment when it comes to my relationships. When I get this one right, the rest of my relationships with other people tend to fall into place. The first authority in your life among people are your parents. All other relational matters flow from your God-given understanding of authority. When we hear all the stuff about, let's go back to our childhood, and what happened to your childhood, and well, you know, healing the inner child and all of those things that are, I think, legitimate and have an appropriate place. When we talk about that, what are we really talking about? What we're talking about is, tell me what your first human relationship was like. Your first human relationship was your relationship with your parents. And so not only is it first in God's priority system, it's also first in our introduction to the human race. And it sets the tone for all other relationships we'll have the rest of our life. We don't have to talk about this morning how many people are wounded today. We don't have to talk this morning about how many people have entered divorce because that first relationship was so fractured. Or something happened there in that first relationship that continues, some abuse, some mistreatment, some frustration, something went wrong there that set a fractured foundation for the rest of life, and now it just flows into all relationships. We get that. We get that on a conscious and an unconscious level. Every human relationship flows from your relationship with your parents. However, I would like to say there are no perfect parents. None. And everybody today wants to talk about how bad their parents messed them up. If it weren't for my parents, you know, I'd be much better off. No, if you weren't for your parents, you'd be dead. They spawned you. They gave you life. If it weren't for them, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't know. All of us have weaknesses and faults and inconsistencies and mistakes. And you know, the older that my kids get, the easier I take it on my mom and dad. Because I go, wow, I had no idea what you went through. Their mistakes through the years have shrunk in my mind. I think, boy, you were much smarter than I thought and much more committed to me than I ever knew. You sacrificed more for me than I ever realized. And that happens because your kids will basically act just like you did. Bill Cosby said it's the only curse that works. So how do I honor my parents? If you have a pen, take out your notes, and let me give you a few thoughts. Let me give you quickly this morning, I'll give you, there's probably others, there's always others, but let me give you five thoughts about honoring your parents. I think the word honor is so foreign to our culture, we have to define it in other words to get into it. We don't understand what it means without putting other explanations to it. Here's the first one, and Paul echoes this in Ephesians when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The first one is obedience. The first one is obedience. So if you're 5 or 25 or 45, particularly if you live under your parents' roof, I think there would be a clear scriptural understanding that your role in your relationship with your parents is to obey. It's when they ask you to do something, as long as it doesn't clearly violate God's word, then your obligation and your responsibility in keeping the fifth commandment is to obey your parents, is to do what they ask you to do. And I'm not so sure that the line that we've drawn in American culture of when you move out on your own, that doesn't still carry some weight. Now, I think the relationship changes, and when a child becomes an adult, the role changes. And I don't know very many parents, once their kids move out, who require obedience from them. But I think even as an adult who's moved out of your home, if your parents ask you to do something, I would consider it very, very carefully before I violated it, understanding that there might be a scriptural principle to honoring your mother and father there, even after you're out of your house. So those of you who've been waiting for that day to come, I've just come to discourage you this morning. Your freedom is not as close as you think. The first act of honor that a child can give a parent is obedience. The first act of honor a child can give a parent is obedience. Here's the second one. respect. Honor is more than obedience. It includes obedience, but it's more than obedience. A prisoner can obey a prison guard and hate his guts and have personal disdain for him. So there's more than just rote obedience. Respect has to do with attitude and language. The tone, the facial expression, the language that I use, all those things communicate respect level. When they ask you to do something, I think one of the things that reflects respect is when somebody asks me to do something that I honor. If I do it on my terms, I disrespect them. If I do it on their terms, I respect them. So I think respect can be defined in a lot of different ways. And maybe there's something that the person who's asking you to do those things don't know about. And we say, I'll do it later. I think one of the things we can do, especially as young people in the home, is rather than making up our own mind about what to do, how to do something our parents ask to do, maybe even asking permission. I've got this first. Is it okay if I do it later? And I think all of that communicates respect. So obedience, respect, here's the third one. And this is a really big one in our culture now, acceptance. It's a very important one because it's missing. Acceptance is one of the major walls that you have to tear down in order to honor your parents well. To really honor your parents well, your father and your mother, you've got to tear the wall down of acceptance. And the older you get, the more you begin to see your parents' faults, the chinks in their armor. But the older you get and the more human they begin to look, the more important it is that you accept them even with their weaknesses. And you may say this morning, well, yeah, but you don't know how many weaknesses my parents have. Or, I didn't have a choice. Well, guess what? Neither did they. You may say, well, I would have picked someone different. Maybe they would have picked a different kid. How do you know? Let's just face it, you're stuck with each other. Those are your parents, and you're their kids. And so, rather than get into that dialogue, why not just forget it and learn to accept? I'm telling you, acceptance is a huge issue in relationship. Accepting people as they are and stopping trying to change them or to make them become something they're not. Acceptance doesn't mean pretending somebody's perfect. It doesn't mean ignoring their mistakes. It doesn't mean agreeing with all they do or agreeing with all they ask you to do. Regardless of how good or bad or in between your parents are, there's something that they gave you that I mentioned earlier that no one else has ever given you and never will give you. They gave you life. You're alive because of them. Reminding yourself that they brought you into the world sometimes takes the edge off and helps you accept them. Listen to what they have to say. This is a way to accept your mom and dad. Honor them regardless of their age or yours. Listen to what they have to say. You don't have to agree, but you can listen. Another part of acceptance is not just listening, but forgiveness. Can you remember the first time it dawned on you as a kid that you needed to forgive your parents for anything? That is a very, very powerful moment. Because it's that moment that you first realize they're human, able to make mistakes, and needing your forgiveness for the mistakes they make. And that's part of acceptance. When you can forgive the wrong that someone who the Bible tells you to honor, when you can forgive the wrong that they've done, that's a major part of accepting. It's saying this person is human. I take them as they are. And the fact is, and the truth is, we most often hurt the most those we love the most. And so most of your pain is going to come from the same people that also bring you most of your joy because they're close enough. And so when that happens, forgiveness is required to lay the foundation for acceptance. And if you live together for any amount of time, you're going to be hurt by the people in your family. Learning to forgive will increase your ability to accept. I can remember when I was maybe 19, and my father and I was away had been away, I think, at school, and he was always a very loud and talkative and I don't know how you would say, overwhelming person at times. And couldn't handle another opinion of any other type from anybody else. And I can remember getting to that age that I came home from college one break and we just locked horns. And I can remember just thinking at that moment, all my life I have backed down and listened and endured, and I am not backing down now, no matter what the price. And I can remember just standing in there toe to toe and saying, I don't, it's wrong for me to be treated this way. And the truth was, it was wrong. But I don't know what happened outside of God's grace that intervened in that moment. And I saw my dad do something that I'd only seen him do one other time in my entire life. And he was at a bad, he was, at the time before, I think he was drunk. He turned his back to me, and he backed down, and he broke, and he started to cry. And he said, "I never meant to do any of this. I didn't mean to hurt you." And I can remember that day, such an enormous feeling of acceptance and forgiveness rising up in my heart. And I just put my arms around him from behind, and I said, "I love you, I'm sorry." And when you get to the place that you begin to accept, some through whatever means necessary, you begin to accept your mom and dad as they are, you'll begin to forgive. When you forgive, you'll begin to accept, and that's where honor will come. Honor will flow from that. Here's the third one. Gratitude. You know, I wish, probably mainstream and pretty normal, but as I look back, I wish I could have appreciated my parents' effort more rather than just the result. You know what I'm saying? My parents weren't always able to do everything they wanted to do, but as I look back, I realized their effort was incredible. Their effort was good. And I bet if you'll back up from your parents' life, look at them, especially those of you who had a lot of friction and tension in the home, if you'll back up from it and look and try to separate your emotions from the time, what you might find is that your parents' effort was better than you thought it was. That their effort, and so I think one of the things we can be grateful for, regardless of how it turned out, was their effort. Parenting is a difficult, time-demanding, energy-draining job. It takes a lot of energy just to physically provide for physical survival, let alone teach or train or get homework done or all the other things. Do you, when you look at your parents' little head and you see the gray on there, do you know where that came from? You. You caused that. You caused the gray and the weariness and the frustration. You put those little hairs there. Jesus said he's numbered the hairs on your head, and we've numbered them gray to our parents. You probably aren't even aware how many times your parents physically saved your life. I had no idea. When I was a kid, I thought, there's no way to die. You can't die. Just do what you want. Run into stuff. You start over tomorrow. And now with the advent of such phenomenal video games, I think kids think they always have another life. Just reset. Push start. I had no idea how easy it was to die. You could just die. You could do something stupid and die. I had no idea. My parents were there saving my life all the time. Then when I had kids, I went, you're a moron. You could die. You could die. It's easy to die. I didn't know how easy it was to die. There's a car. There's electricity. Stick your finger in the socket and poke your eye out and shoot each other with stuff. And you could just die. If you want to be grateful for something, be grateful that you're alive. Not only did they give you life, they preserved it till you could get smart enough to defend yourself. Everything wants to kill you. I don't know if you know that. Inanimate objects, scissors, running through the house, they want you to fall on them so they can stab you to death. Your parents were there to save your life. I had no idea how easy it was just to die. You can be grateful for your parents' sacrifice. Parenting is expensive. By the latest count I had, it cost somewhere between $180,000 to $250,000 to raise one child. I wonder what your parents could have bought if they didn't have you. You ever thought about that? Oh, you're getting more grateful by the minute, aren't you? Wow. There was a father who was going for a family portrait, and they went to pose, and he said, "Hey, could you tell my sons to put their hand in the pocket with my wallet? It'll look natural then." Be grateful for your parents for all they went through. Gratitude's a way to honor. Here's the last one. Affirmation and care. Affirmation and care. The older your parents get, the less respect they get from society. There'll come a time when society will seem to move on. Their friends will start to pass away. There's no one in the marketplace that wants them for their skill and wisdom anymore, and they can lead lonely lives. Your parents need to know that they make some kind of contribution to your life. Every time you thank them or write them a letter or call or check on them or share some celebration from your life or your kids, I think you're obeying this commandment. You're honoring them. You're including them. You're showing them affirmation that their life continues to go on in you and your kids. We're one of the few cultures in the entire world that despises our aging. And I don't know why we do. Maybe it's consumerism or shallowness or who knows. But what you want to think about in affirmation and care and honoring your parents is do it while you have time. Do it now. A lot of times what we do is I've done enough funerals to know you see that moment where you have all of these things done at that funeral time to try to make up for the things that weren't done when they were there. And can I tell you, I've never seen it work. It never works. It never satisfies. If you're going to buy them 1,000,000 flowers at the funeral, buy the flowers now. The flowers at the funeral are for you. They're not for them because they don't know they're there. They're for you. And so buy those things and give those expressions now while they are able to receive them. As your parents age, affirm and care for them. Don't just push them aside. The cycle of life God intended as time passes is that the roles reverse. At one point in life, they fed you, they cared for you, they bathed you. And as they grow older, you may need to extend some of the same care that they gave you at the beginning of your life near the latter part of theirs. I'm going to ask our worship team to come this morning. So you have those things: obedience, respect, affirmation. A few years ago, I think it was in 2007, maybe 2006, my mom, her health had been deteriorating for some time. And out of her four arteries leading to her heart, two were 100% blocked and two were 80% blocked. And she was at a point that she was fragile and not even able to get around anymore. And so she was going to have it had come to a crisis point, and she didn't know it until then. She's going to have quadruple bypass surgery. And we got a day and a half's notice that it was going to happen. And so trying to figure out this honor your parents thing, we didn't have a vehicle, another vehicle, so I went and rented a vehicle, and I left at 3:30. Her surgery was, I think, about 10:30 in the morning in Memphis. And I left Gulfport, Mississippi at 3:30 in the morning to be there. And as I drove up to the hospital and had that long, quiet, ride. I watched the sun come up that morning. I knew that after the surgery, she would never remember that I had been there before the surgery. Your memory's gone. You lose hours there you can never recall. But it was important for me to be there before. It was important for me to see her, talk to her. And I knew that she wouldn't remember it, but I knew that she knew it then. And then the surgery happened and things went well. And I can remember going in that little ICU room, and it's still moving to me today. There laid my little mama, who had cared for me, loved me, sacrificed her life for me. Her chest had been torn open. She had so many machines attached to her. I didn't even know what they all did. And I remember just sitting there at the foot of her bed with my arms like this, just staring at her, waiting for her to wake up. She'd come around and look at me. I'd talk to her. I fed her ice chips. You dehydrate. I put chapstick on her lips. Then she'd kind of go out and she'd come back. She'd go out and she'd come back. And I talked to her as long as I could. And then the time came for me to go. And she doesn't remember one word of our conversation before or after surgery. And she doesn't even remember that I was there. But I do. I remember. And I'm glad. The day after surgery, I had gone to her trailer. She had a little bitty dilapidated trailer in the forgotten part of the city. And I was over there running some errands for her and checking the mail. And it's funny how quiet a room can be. I stood there in the quietness of her living room, the place where we had opened presents, and she had served us Thanksgiving dinner, I don't know how many times. But this time it was empty, and there was nobody there but me. And I stood there, and it was so quiet I could hear the motor on the refrigerator running. And my eye happened to catch a card hanging off the refrigerator. And I recognized it. I went over and pulled the magnet off of it, and I looked at it. And it was a card that I'd written her for Mother's Day, about 3 years before that. And what I tried to do is I took several months, and I tried to think of everything that I was grateful to her for. And I took that card and I just wrote all over it. I listed everything in that card that I was grateful for her for. And as I stood there the day after her surgery and I opened that little card, I just closed my eyes tight. And I didn't pray. I didn't say a word. I just remember closing my eyes tight and saying in my spirit, "Thank you, God, that I did this now. If something would have happened to her and she'd have never known all those feelings and thoughts." That was a surreal moment for me. And if you want to know the truth, I've got a confession to make. About a year after that, I was thinking about this whole thing again. And I realized that I had never written my dad a card like that. And I started to ask myself, why? And it's painful for me to say to you, but I guess if I'm honest, the reason that I never wrote my dad a card like that is because I had bought into the lie that I've been preaching against all morning. I guess if I'm honest, the reason I never did is because I thought he didn't deserve it. That she was a Christian and she passed her faith on to me, and she was very kind to me and very compassionate to me, and he had some broken pieces and was very, in some ways, very good father, but in some ways very difficult. And I guess the frustration for all that had carried through the years. And even today, my entire family is still fractured from the pain that overflowed out of his life. And I looked at the damage and I looked at the pain, and I guess I unconsciously said, he doesn't deserve it. But as I thought about it, God began to convict me, and I said, but honor doesn't have to do with how good or bad your parents are. Honor has to do with the place that God gave them. And honor your mom and dad, it's not about them, it's about you. And so I sat down and got a card and I started writing. And I wrote, and you know what? It surprised me. The list was longer than I gave him credit for. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And the day that I put that little card in the mail and it shot down in the box, I can remember the peace I felt saying, God, I've obeyed your word and I've honored you and I've honored my dad. Through the years, I've written him a lot of cards. Not cards, but letters, notes, saying that I couldn't stand the thought of going to heaven without him. That I loved him and I hoped that he would turn to Christ. I've never seen any effect of any of those prayers or letters. But I decided, you know what? I have to obey the whole word, and I sent that card. 1 Timothy 5:4 says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is what is pleasing to God. Right where you sit this morning, would you close your eyes for a moment? You know, one of the really interesting things, I think, when Jesus was dying, he was hanging on the cross, and one of Jesus' last dying words was to the disciple that was there, to John, was, take care of my mother. I think it's so profound that when Jesus was dying for the world, his mother was on his mind. Kind of convicts us who think we're too busy to care for our parents. Every eye closed. Right where you sit, this is a very tender moment. I think it's important that we respond, and here's your response. This morning, as we've talked through this subject, if you say, you know what, even as we've sat here, it's just become, I've had such an impression on my soul that I need to do, maybe you're a young person, maybe you're a teenager, maybe you're 8 or 9 or 10, 15 or 20, and you say, I really feel that I need to focus better on honoring my parents by obeying them. By obeying them. Now, I'm going to make sure your parents' eyes are closed so they can't see. But if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to tell anybody who you are. And I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I just want you to lift your hand and say, my confession today is, God help me. I want to grow in this way in honoring my mom and dad. I need to do better with obedience.